Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Welcome to Parks After Dark. The silk robes are right over there. Grab your favorite Jordan Matthews highlight and let's have a take or two.
Going on, thanks for having me on, man.
It's Parks After Dark, right here on the WIP Evening Show.
Yes, it is that time of week. Elliot Shore Parks, 94WIP.com. The Gophers podcast is about to join us. Talk some Eagles as another move today. No, not a wide receiver. The Eagles have just completely said, you know what? We're going to rely on the draft for wide receiver, and they've done nothing here in free agency. But another corner brought in today. Let's talk to Elliot, his feelings on the latest move and what this secondary could look like. Elliot, how you doing?
Man, Eagles fans could probably go for a good Jordan Matthews highlight at this point, the way this offseason's going. I'm excited to talk about the receivers.
Yeah, it's a good point. I mean, they have just completely done nothing. So, Elliot, what's your feeling on this right now? When the offseason started, I didn't want them to spend crazy on receiver, but I also didn't know DeAndre Hopkins would be traded. I also didn't know Stephon Diggs would get moved for what he got moved for, that he'd be available right away as this whole thing started. And obviously, Amari Cooper stayed with the Cowboys. But the way I look at it is, I thought they'd get a body, just somebody else. They wouldn't be so reliant on the draft and a rookie to come in and have an impact right away. But that's where we are right now. Are you surprised they've done nothing?
Yeah, I am. And, you know, I like the moves that they have made. I like the Hargrave signing, but there's no getting around the fact that it's kind of funny that in an offseason where we all agreed they needed to get quicker on offense, we all agreed they needed a receiver, their first move was a nose tackle. Like, that's just, you would have never seen that coming. So I think now the more into free agency we get, you're right, they're not going to have a body to rely on. I mean, they are worse at receiver today than they were when the offseason started, which is something to say when you consider how bad they were at the end of the season. But I think that, you know, they are going to rely on the draft. They're going to target at 21 a receiver and maybe move up if they have to. But yeah, they're putting a lot of pressure on the draft.
And they're putting a lot of pressure on Carson Wentz. I mean, he's going to have to bring these guys along. And Elliot, maybe they are really putting a lot of stock in what Carson was able to do at the end of last year. And they should consider it. I mean, he played his best football at the end, and he helped them make the playoffs by helping to elevate guys that really didn't belong in the NFL in some instances. But it's a lot to ask what they're asking him to do right now, because even if you add in the first-round pick at wide receiver, it's still on paper not going to be a great receiving core. You're going to have Deshaun coming off of an injury in a lost year. Who knows what Arthega Whiteside, Greg Ward, and a rookie. I mean, we could go into next season with, you know, coming off a year where the best NFL receiver they had based on NFL stats was Greg Ward. It feels crazy what they're going to ask of Carson to do next year.
So they're going to have some of the worst receivers in the league. I mean, even if you go up and let's say they get a CeeDee Lamb, who I think is the best receiver in this draft, there's a chance that CeeDee Lamb will go through the offseason with no offseason workouts, an abbreviated training camp, and an inability to even really speak to his coaches until, you know, maybe mid-August. So that could be a potential issue with everything that's going on. But I will say this, you know, there's a lot of focus on receiver, and rightfully so. But the Eagles' cupboard on offense is not bare. I mean, they have maybe the best tight end in the league in Zach Ertz, who is in all reality their number one receiver. They have a very good receiving tight end, Dallas Goedert. They have a running back in Miles Sanders that you pulled up some stats last year, what he was able to do as a receiver and a runner. He's an elite player. They have a great play caller and a great head coach. So, yes, the receivers are an issue. I agree. They need to address it. But when you talk about the overall picture on offense, Carson still does have plenty to work with. I mean, this offense should still function even if they don't make, you know, a splash move at receiver.
I agree. It will. I mean, it did last year, and really it's kind of run through Zach Ertz anyway, you know, for the last 3 or 4 years. So
right.
They'll be able to do that. All right, let's go to the defense and what they did. Let's just go to today and kind of what it means. So Nickell Robey-Coleman arrives here. He is a cornerback. He is a guy that is most famous for the play that changed the pass interference rule in the title game with the Rams and Saints a couple years ago. He's a slot corner. And, Elliot, I'm looking at kind of the depth chart now and all the names. Feels like they have Darius Slay and then Ronnie McLeod and a whole bunch of guys that could fill a couple roles, but none of us know where they're going to fit in.
Yeah, and the interesting thing about what they've done at corner is, you know, me and you talked at the beginning of the offseason, we would say, okay, they're going to need help at safety and outside corner, but nickel corner, they're good. They have Avante Maddox. They have Crave on the block. They bring in Nickell Robey-Coleman, who is going to start. Like, this guy has a history with Jim Schwartz. He was a starter under Jim Schwartz. He was one of the best nickel corners in the league last year. He is coming in here to start. So that's probably going to move Crave onto a backup role and Avante to the outside. But what's interesting about the secondary is, you just said it, but they have Darius Slay, they have Rodney McLeod, then they have a bunch of question marks. I mean, when I look at what they could do in the secondary, it's going to be really boom or bust. I think it could be interesting with a lot of movable pieces that can do a lot of different things, but I'm not sure they have anybody outside of Darius Slay that does one thing really well, and that's a recipe for disaster.
Yeah, and I saw you tweeted today what kind of the rotation or the starters could look like, and you had Slay and McLeod and Mills of the safeties. Will Parks, the Philly kid they just signed, is kind of that third safety, like a younger Corey Graham role from a couple of years ago. The slot with Robey-Coleman, and you had that second outside corner with a whole bunch of guys there, and I'm looking at the names, Rasul, Maddox, Cray. But the name that just sticks out, it's like this whole thing, they've set it up for, like, Sidney Jones, like, grab the job, like, show everyone you can play. Like, it is set up for him to have that. I guess they're probably looking at it as, like, what Nelson was heading into 2017, Nelson Aguilar. Like, you know, you have a chance here. You have one more chance. Grab it.
Yeah, and I thought it was interesting that last week there was a report that they were shopping Rasul Douglas, which is not surprising. I mean, Rasul, I think, is a good player, but I think it's pretty clear his chance to start here is not going to happen. And I think it shows that between Rasul and Sidney, they still have a belief in Sidney. So, when you spend a high second-round pick on someone, you get a lot of chances. And Sidney, towards the end of last year, although it was just a handful of plays, they were big plays, and they were confidence boosters. So I think that it could be enough for the Eagles to kind of justify bringing him back. But also, let's be honest, they're not getting much of anything for Rasul or Sidney. It makes more sense to give Sidney Jones a chance in training camp than it does to swap him out for, you know, a really late round pick or another fringe roster guy. So I think Sidney will get a chance to compete, but you're putting yourself in a situation where, you know, if Jalen's going to be your new Malcolm, if Rodney's getting back in his spot, Darius Slay's in his spot, and then you have your nickel, is Avante Maddox going to lose his job to Sidney Jones? I mean, you have two young guys that you invested in that are going to be competing for playing time. And yeah, it'll be great when one of them wins and, you know, Maddox plays well or Sidney steals the job, but it's not great for the other young guys that they're going to get beat out and not really play.
Elliot Shore-Parks, 94WIP.com. He's joining us here talking some Eagles as they send another corner today. Elliot, let me throw this one at you because I was thinking about this today. So all the moves Eagles have made, there's been a good amount. Hargrave in, obviously Malcolm out. Some of these corners are in. They haven't done anything at wide receiver. They lost a couple backup offensive linemen, or in the case of Peters, a starter. When you look at everything that they've done since last week started to now, do you believe the Eagles are a better team since the league year opened? Better team now than they were before this all started, or worse?
It's a great question. I saw a list Pro Football Focus did where they take the additions and the subtractions and they weigh them all and they say which teams have gotten worse and which have gotten better. And they had the Eagles right in the middle. And I thought that was pretty appropriate. But if I had to lean one way or the other, I would say worse. And the two main reasons I would do that is because, A, I don't know if Andre Dillard can play at the level Jason Peters did. And B, I don't know if they've replaced Malcolm. And those are two major components to their success last year. Jason Peters played at a high level at left tackle when he was in there. We all know what Malcolm did for the defense. So for me, the issue is not so much receiver. I think they'll be fine as long as Doug and Carson, you know, play and coach to the level they're capable of. But if the offensive line takes a step back and you don't have a replacement for Malcolm, Those are big blows. So I think they're worse than they were.
Yeah, I do too. I mean, I saw the same thing you did with Pro Football Focus. I still think they're about a 9-win team. Like, with all the moves they've made, I don't think they've, you know, suddenly become an 11-win team. And the next big move is going to come through the draft. Now, the silver lining, Elliot, is I think the biggest move perhaps in the entire NFC East so far is the Cowboys losing Travis Frederick. Because, you know, I looked at it the other day. I was like, yeah, I think the Cowboys are still more talented. That's a big blow for them. Of all the things that have happened to the Eagles this offseason, not having him at center for the Cowboys next year, that's a big thing for the Eagles.
It is. Now, I would argue, though, that loss is it's a big one, but I think getting Mike McCarthy as a head coach is a big upgrade for them over Jason Garrett. And when you talk about two rosters that maybe are equal, but I think most of last year everyone agreed the Cowboys had the more talented roster. So now I think they have a significant upgrade at head coach. I think that's a big deal. But I also think when you talk about the Eagles as a whole and as a franchise, like you said it, they're a 9-win team, right? That's kind of what they've been the last 4 years. I mean, 2017, obviously we all know what they did. But outside of that, they were 7-9 the first year. The last 2 years, they finished 9-7, and they were 5-7 at one point in those seasons. So they've really been teetering on the edge of disaster for quite a while. So, look, I think going into next year with a fully healthy Carson, maybe you get a better version of him. Maybe there's new plan at secondary works. But I don't think anyone should go into this Eagles season expecting them to be a double-digit win team. They've really only been that once out of the last 4 years, and they've shown what they more are, which is an 8-8, 9-7 team.
Last one for you, Elliot. You know, there's a lot of – I think we talked about this about a month ago, that we were heading towards some sort of wacky offseason where there's more quarterbacks than there are spots for them and accomplished quarterbacks. So there's some big names that are still out there, and I don't know where they're going to land, but I think at least one of these guys is going to have to accept a backup job, if not all of them. You have Joe Flacco. You have Jameis Winston. You have Cam Newton. And Andy Dalton is under contract, so that might be trickier because he's getting paid a bunch of money, but he's not going to start next year. Of all those names, if you could have one of them here to be the Eagles' backup to Carson Wentz, because someone's going to be needing a job, who would you pick?
So if we're talking strictly from who I think is the best quarterback among those three, I would go Jameis Winston. I know the interceptions are clearly an issue, but I do think that a change of scenery could work for him, and I think he's the most talented of those three. I don't think there's any chance the Eagles bring Jameis Winston in to be a backup. It would be too big of a distraction. They don't want to do that to Carson. I think Flacco could come in here, be a very high-quality backup, could do a lot of the things Nick Foles did when he had to go in, and I think be less of a distraction. I think he's more of a backup at this point of his career, whereas if you bring in a Winston, if you bring in a Dalton, there's that feeling of, okay, these guys want to start and they want to play. And when the Eagles let Nick Foles go, we all saw that the Eagles are not going to bring somebody in here that's a real threat to Carson as a backup.
No, there's no way. They prioritize that. Maybe too much, but they certainly do. Elliot, I appreciate you hopping on. Stay healthy and enjoy your social distancing.
Sounds good. See you soon, man.
There he goes. Elliot Shoreparks, 94WIP.com. So he's with me on the Joe Flacco thing. Get Joe in here. They better have called him up already. I'll be upset if they haven't. Get Joe in here.
He's definitely probably the most, I won't say the most attractive, but the most conventional version. Mm-hmm. And as Elliot pointed out, he's the most similar to Nick Foles in that he has such a high ceiling. And he's produced in the postseason before.
Yeah, and the one thing that I'm a big fan of when it comes to the idea of Flacco as the backup quarterback, like last year, I feel like it was almost a older brother kind of atmosphere with Josh McCown. Like, show him the ropes still, no threat to his job. If you need him to come in and play, he's obviously experienced enough that he could and he did in the playoff game. But here's what Flacco brings. It's the opposite of McCown. Like when McCown got
working hamstrings.
Well, yes. Though Joe's athleticism has really waned in the last. Joe's an old 35 after the knee injury he had. But the one thing that Flacco brings that McCown didn't, when McCown stepped on the field for Flacco and for Wentz in the playoff game, that was the first time he ever played in a playoff game. Like if the same thing happened next year by some wacky somehow, playoff game, wild card weekend, and Carson Wentz gets a knee to the head again, and he has to come out of the game, just like it happens again. Joe Flacco, how many playoff games do you think he's played in, Tucker? I mean, he's won, I think he has 8 road playoff wins. Joe Flacco has had to play in this one. Let me try to guess. He played in 3 as a rookie. He played in 3 when they won the Super Bowl. He's probably played in 14, 13 playoff games?
15.
15.
He's 10-5 in the postseason.
That's a lot of playoff games. I mean, you like for a guy that was not an elite quarterback. Like if Think of non-elite quarterbacks. Like, obviously, Tom Brady's played in a million playoff games. And Peyton Manning played in a ton. And Drew Brees played in a ton. But, like, Aaron Rodgers played in his fair share. But if you go, like, the next step down, he has to have among the most playoff starts for someone you would say is not a Hall of Fame quarterback.
How many of those would you think were at home?
Not many at all. His rookie year, they didn't have one. They won the division the year they won the Super Bowl. They got one, then they went on the road. I would say three.
Two.
So
he's 2-0 at home in the playoffs. So he's 8-5 on the road in his career on the road.
Yeah, the year. Do you remember the year they lost in the missed field goal up in Foxborough when the Patriots beat them? That year they were the 2 seed.
They beat Houston at home.
Then they went there and lost. And then the year they won the Super Bowl, they won their division. I think beat Andrew Luck in the first round.
Yeah, they beat Indianapolis. They went to Denver, to New England, and then San Francisco on a neutral site.
It's pretty wild to play in 15 playoff games and have 2 at home. And to have 10 wins.
Yeah, I mean, that's a stag. I mean, 10-5 playoff record. Like, normally you would think you'd be around 500, right? You win one, lose one. You're bounced out the first round a couple years. Like, to be over 500, but to be 5 games over 500 in the playoffs is pretty good.
How many quarterbacks have more playoff wins than Joe Flacco? I the number is going to be staggeringly small. I mean, the NFL has changed, right? The format we have now went into effect in 1990. Obviously, Tom Brady. Peyton Manning probably finished with more. Maybe Peyton Manning finished with like 12. He was like 12 or 13 playoff wins when you include his final Super Bowl. Montana. I would guess the number of pro football quarterbacks that have more playoff wins in their career than Joe Flacco is an absurdly small list. Like, I'm going to guess right now there's less than 10 that have more than Joe Flacco. How many? Donovan won 9 playoff games? 8 or 9 playoff games? I'm trying to think of all Donovan's playoff wins off the top of my head. I don't think he doesn't have more than Flacco. I mean, he didn't win a Super Bowl.
There are 9 quarterbacks in NFL history with more than Joe Flacco.
That's incredible. It's incredible to have that guy just sitting on the street looking for a job.
He's tied with Aaron Rodgers.
I mean, there it is.
Yeah, Brady has 30, Montana 16, Bradshaw, Elway, Peyton Manning all have 14, Favre and Roethlisberger each have 13, and then Staubach and Aikman each have 11.
So everyone that has more is in the Hall of Fame.
And some their fan base would probably have some claim to saying that's the greatest quarterback of all time.
And then there's Joe Flacco.
Correct.
For as much as we always joke about Nick Foles' career, Joe Flacco's, like, for as many people that think Joe Flacco stinks, he has an amazing, amazing resume. Like, for someone who people never thought was very good, his resume is off the charts. Super Bowl championship, Super Bowl MVP, 10 playoff wins, 8 road playoff wins. All those games, he played a lot of games in a row, too, before he tore up his knee. He has a very unique career.
Yeah, I mean, he was always durable. He kind of, I hate to compare him to Carson Wentz, because I think Carson Wentz is more talented, but he kind of sat around like the 10th best quarterback for a while, had a good enough coach and good enough defense that he was able to make the playoffs every year. But he has more wins than McNabb, than Jim Kelly, Bart Starr, but obviously he didn't play in an era where he got 3 or 4+ playoff games every year. More than Jim Plunkett, more than Steve Young, more than Dan Marino, more than Drew Brees. Like, there are surefire Hall of Famers that he's outperformed in the postseason.
Look, you kind of just made me think of this. I will say this right now. If I could sign up for Carson Wentz to end his career with a Super Bowl MVP and finish top 10 in playoff wins, including 8 road playoff wins, would you sign up for Joe Flacco's career for Carson Wentz right now?
100%.
I mean, there's no question.
I mean, it would be much shorter than I think people expected, but at his peak and those playoff runs, like, I have a hard time believing people would be upset if he won like that.
Oh, I'd be doing jumping jacks. I would do that. Well, I'll throw that out there right now. 215-592-9494. We just waxed poetic about my choice for Eagles backup quarterback, Joe Flacco. And after kind of going through some of the numbers, going through some of the facts of his career, there's no question. I would sign up for Carson Wentz's career to be Joe Flacco's today. Super Bowl MVP, 10 playoff wins. He's top 10 all-time in playoff wins. He has 8 road playoff wins, and I think there was a stretch where he made the playoffs 5 straight years. Now, Carson is in a stretch of 3, So two more, he can match that. But he had a stretch of five straight years making the playoffs. He's won eight road playoff games. He beat Manning and Brady in back-to-back weeks to get to the Super Bowl. I will take, yes, right now. If you had me a piece of paper and it's like a you have to sign off and you can never complain, and the sign-off is Carson Wentz's career mirrors Joe Flacco. Like, he has as good of a career as Joe Flacco. Check mark, signature, I'll sign it all away.
So he got hurt in 2015, right? So before that, up through his age 29 season, he had a career record of 72-40 in the regular season. Only 2 years he didn't get double-digit wins. Completion percentage of 60, 25,000 yards, averaged 21 touchdowns, 12 interceptions a year. I mean, is QB ratings low? I think Carson Wentz probably just outperforms his individual statistics just because he is more talented, has a better offensive coach. But for the most part, like, if you look at his just raw win numbers, I'd sign up for 72-40.
72-40 in a Super Bowl and a Super Bowl MVP? Yes! Sign me up right now. 215-592-9494. 215-592-9494. We come back. Your phone calls. And are the Eagles a better team now than they were when free agency began? I saw one win total that said they're not. In fact, they're worse. We'll dive into that, and I want to play something for you. Peter King was on Brian Baldinger's podcast with this whole idea of the NFL draft getting moved, and it sounds more and more like teams are trying to push for this. That and the idea of how long the draft could go whenever it starts. We'll hit on all those things. 215-592-9494 on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.